In the book of Numbers, we're going to start out in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come to you. We want to pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and in our midst. And Lord, that everything we talk about today comes from your word and comes from you, Lord, not from me. Would the hearts today, our hearts be receptive to hearing your word and responding in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible today, we're going to be in Numbers 13 and 14 and Joshua chapters 5, 6, and 7. Now, don't raise your hand, but I know all of you that were here last week, we read our 1 Kings 17 through 19, right? Well, this week, we're not going to have any homework. You know, church attendance, I don't want it to drop because we start giving homework, but you know. There's no homework this week for our passages. Take notes today, please. If you don't have, there's pens around you, there's bulletins, please take notes. It's a great way to remember what God tells us today. But our assignment, if this is your church, is this week to invite kids to our Bible school. Even if that means, again, and even preferably strangers, people in your neighborhood you don't know real well, knock on the door, hey, want to let you know our church is having Bible school. That's just as uncomfortable for me as it is for you, but it's a good thing and it works because we want children to hear the message of Jesus, all right? If you weren't here last week, we started a series about lessons from the Old Testament. Last week we talked about Elijah. Today we're going to be talking about a man named Joshua. Joshua lived about 3,300 years ago, and just a few quick things about Joshua. He was Moses' assistant. Joshua was a very pivotal player in the Exodus, where God's children were freed from slavery and from Egypt. He actually commanded the Israeli army. He went with Moses, Joshua did, to get the Ten Commandments. And Joshua also, God gave him the gift while he was here on earth of invincibility. That he would never ever, he was invincible in battle and in war, etc. And guys, don't we have that through Jesus? If Jesus, amen, if he's your Lord and your Savior, are you ever going to experience death? No. I mean, these bodies will die one day, but we will never experience it because of what he did for us on the cross. So today, Joshua. We're going to focus on two main events briefly, and we have four lessons to learn from Joshua. All right, lesson number one. Here we go. God's people, disciples, followers of Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and confessed with your heart and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you're saved, you've repented, turned from your sin, you've been baptized, you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and we can learn from Joshua that we should be different. Amen. We should stand out in the world. Not that we're perfect or better or haughty or self-righteous. We should just be different like Joshua was. And we'll get to that in a moment. We should be different. We, our demeanor, our character, how we act and react, how we treat people, how we love and serve, we should be different. You guys want to know one of the real litmus tests I use if I know someone really knows the Lord and they're a Christian, they're a strong believer, that, and there are exceptions to this, but this is pretty, I think, pretty universal. There are a lot of important things like knowing God's Word, what life looks like, etc., being part of church, you name it. But the one thing, when I see a Christian I know that really is tight and walking with Jesus and in His Word and trying to live for Him, they have joy. They're different. They have happiness. Their countenance, they have joy. They're happy. They know that God is good, that He loves them, that He saved them. They're going to heaven. Life is good. Life's not always easy, but life is good. They're different. That's a great mark of spiritual maturity and of health is how different we are. Not because life might always be a bed of roses. Let me just overshare with you this morning. I had one of the worst weeks I've ever had in my life. And I've had some bad weeks in my life, if you guys know me. But this week, it was just everything. You know, it was all kinds of stuff, personal and some family stuff and money stuff. My sister-in-law's got to have surgery. I could go on. We've lived in Hoopston 5 years. Our basement's always been dry. We woke up to, like, Lake Patoka out there Friday morning. It's like getting out the fishing pole, you know. And it happened again this morning after we got it all cleaned up, by the way. So anyway, I could go on. But you know what, guys? I don't really care because God is good. And life is good. He's still on the throne, and I'm going to heaven. And in this world, we'll have troubles, but He's overcome. And greater is He that is in me and you than he who's in the world. Joy. We should be different. Whether life's going good, going bad, Christians, and we learn this from Joshua's life, we'll get to in a moment, you and I should be different. And I don't really care if I have a flooded basement, because 738 East Penn is not my home. Amen? Amen. Heaven's my home. Heaven's your home. We should never forget that, and our lives should show that we are aware of that. This world's not our home. We need to stop living like it so much. This world's fallen, broken, and a mess. These bodies are fallen, broken, and a mess. But hallelujah, hallelujah for Jesus. And we learn from Joshua that we should be different. Let's start to talk briefly just today about Joshua's life. Numbers 13 and 14, if you have your Bibles. Here's what was going on. Israel, God's people, had been delivered from slavery. I mean, like slavery, bricks and mortar and bread and water and being beaten, and there was no air conditioning, and it was just rough working. It was a hazardous work environment for the slaves. God had miraculously delivered and set them free, okay? They had been free, and they were on their way to the promised land. We're talking like, you know, milk and honey and all kinds of good stuff. And God said, now if I set you free, I'm going to bring you into this place. But they began what? To wander. Life got them off track. They were complaining. They had taken their focus off of God, which is what you and I do so easily. God has forgiven us. He has forgiven us and does from our sins, which is something we can never do. We can never earn it, be good enough, be right, and God forgives us. Okay, we've been set free, but so often in life it's so easy to get away from Him, to wander, to journey, to stray, to be like the children of Israel and complain when life happened instead of keeping our joy and being different. So they're getting close to the promised land, and here they are, and now Moses, you guys remember Moses, Ten Commandments, Moses sends out 12 spies to spy out this land and say, hey, this is what God's promised to us, go tell us how it is. 10 of the 12 men came back, and they came back real negative. We can't do this. The people there are too big, and it doesn't make sense, and they'll beat us up, they'll kill us in battle, and there's a lot, the terrain's rough, and all these excuses and things, which is just like so often what we do in life. I can't come to church, or won't give my life to Jesus, or I can't get over this sin, I can't forgive that person, and they're just excuses, because we can, because we have that power through Jesus and His Holy Spirit. But they came back, and they said they were negative, all the reasons why this couldn't happen. And because of that, and the children of Israel heard it and they said, yeah, you guys are probably right. I just wish we'd have stayed in Egypt as slaves. Negative, complaining, unhappy. And because of that, so many of that generation never got to the promised land. And guys, I'm afraid that there are a lot of Christians, we never get to the promised land. There's a lot of the world, and sometimes I'm afraid even people who are come to church may never get to heaven because we never surrender our hearts to Jesus. We choose to live in sin. There's all kinds of stuff that's scary there. And I think even as Christians, we don't often and so often experience God's best in life, and we're fruitful, and we're who God wants us to be, and the church being the church completely, because we don't stay focused on Him and His promises. We don't stay focused on His Word and how it says to live and how it says that we're supposed to live our lives. It's so easy in such human nature to live in doubt and not live in abundance and be negative and whatever, because we forget that this life is just a journey to our promised land, which is heaven, which is to be with God. That's the ultimate goal. That is our home. That's our promised land. That's our abundance. It's not Disney World. It's not the new car, the new house. It's not the mall, the bar, the bottle, the pill, the kids, the grandkids, these things. Some of them are good in life. Those aren't where we find our fulfillment and joy. We find them by living for and loving the Lord and obeying Him. That's where we find our joy. And we find our joy in serving others as well. You guys ever get down on yourself, have a pity party, life's tough? You know what I tell myself, and you know what I tell my wife and kids, and sometimes maybe if you and I are talking together, get the focus off yourself. Because when the focus of your life is you, you're not going to be happy. That is not how God designed you to be. He designed you to be like Jesus and be focused on others, to serve, to love, to give. That's contentment and fulfillment in life. But what we do is we focus on what's going wrong and how we feel and what we think and what that other person said or did, and we just struggle and struggle and struggle, and that's not what God wants from us. Numbers 14:24, talking about really Caleb and Joseph, but it says Caleb here, it says that they have a different spirit. And that God says, they have followed me fully, and I will bring them into the land, and his descendants will inherit it. Guys, when we're different, have a different spirit, when it's obvious we are surrendered and belong to Jesus and living for Him, not only does that bless us, not only is that good for us, it affects our family and our lineage and our generations and those around us. When we have a different spirit, when we live for and trust Jesus. Just like, listen to this, when we don't, the same effect happens. It affects our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and church and lost and world. You as a believer, how you live your life is a big deal. Let's backtrack to Joshua 14, 6 through 9 here. Here's what's again going on about the spies. They had spied out the land, and it says that Joshua and Caleb spoke to the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through is good. I'll paraphrase, and says, God delights in us. He'll bring us into it. He promised it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord. No worry about the world. Don't fear them. Just stay faithful and obedient to God, and He will give you what He has promised. He will be good to you. He has saved you. You will have heaven. All things are possible through our God. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. With God, all things are possible. Be of good courage, it says in here. The key to life, surrender your heart and will to Jesus. Follow Him. Get in and obey His word and watch what life looks like. You'll be different. And we're called to be different. And we learn this from Joshua's life. He was positive. He believed and trusted God. Is that how you're living your life today? Some stuff, and we'll get to this in a moment, Joshua's life didn't make a lot of sense, but he said, I'm going to trust God no matter what. Guys, there's stuff in our lives we can't always make sense of. There's stuff we might read in God's Word. Instead of saying, God says it, I will obey it, we say, well, here's how I want to live my life, and I will try to pervert God's Word to fit that. How dare us? He's good. He loves us. He's God. We should be different. Second major event, okay, that we're going to focus on from Joshua's life is Jericho. We just talked briefly about the Exodus. I really want to focus on Jericho today. And if you guys know what Jericho is, here's the deal. God's children have been delivered from Egypt. They were gone their way to the Promised Land. He had already parted the Red Sea miraculously, and they were able to get out of Egypt and to be free. The first major battle that they fought was the Battle of Jericho. Okay? If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn forward from Numbers to Joshua chapters 5 and 6. And those of you that don't know, Jericho can represent a lot of things in our life. I think that Jericho kind of represents the world. Jericho, that city, they were scoffers of God. They didn't want to live God's way. They didn't care. They didn't know the Lord. And they were in the way of God's people getting where they needed to be. But I think Jericho, more individually to our lives today, applies as this. We've all got some Jerichos in our life that we need victory over. If you think life is peaches, fine. You've got Jerichos, because things that need victory over and answered prayers, because you know people that don't know Jesus. You know people that are on their way to hell. They have not accepted God's gift of grace through Jesus. You may have Jerichos. It might be sin or unforgiveness or pride, a health issue, a financial issue. It could be a million things that you need victory over. It's in your way. We all have these Jerichos in our life. But the thing about Jericho, the city 3,300 years ago, or whatever's going on in your life here today, those things are there to bring God glory. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when stuff happens in life. Because it's meant to bring God glory. Because when you, the believer, praise God through it, when you trust God through it, when you obey God through it, when you're faithful to Him no matter what, when things go bad and you still say, hey, God's good, I trust Him, I love Him, He's so wonderful, He gets glory. Amen? Trust all the stuff in our lives, your struggles, they're meant to bring God glory when you surrender to Him and He gives you victory. That's kind of what Jericho was. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then your sin is your Jericho, and there'll never be a bigger problem. Because without Jesus' atonement and redemption and you saying yes to Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll be separated from God forever. And you've got sin that still needs to be removed from your life by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because let me tell you, He's the only way. And if you're here today and you already know Him, praise God. Are you obeying God with your life? What's your life look like? Jericho chapter 6. Jericho was encircled. God's people had encircled the city. Okay? They had encircled the city and they needed to defeat it. Now, Israel was outside of the city and they were getting ready to circle it. We'll get there in a moment, okay? But again, you need to be honest with yourself. What in your life needs to go? What needs to change? Do you need to turn from some sin? You've got to be honest, too. Does your life look different? What's your life look like? Sunday through Saturday to Sunday, week, day to day. What's it look like? All right, so here we go. Joshua chapter 6, let's read verse 10. They're getting ready to have victory. It says, now the children of Israel camped and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the twilight. And I'm reading 5:10. Let me read 6:10. That'd be better. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. Now listen to this. You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until I tell you to. How often do we struggle with this? Instead of being patient and waiting on God and being humble and faithful and consistent in obeying Him and serving Him, we want to just rush and do things our way and not listen to God. Instead of saying, what about with people? You know, as Christians, guys, what being different means is we don't have any outstanding bad relationships. Seriously, you can't control how people feel about you. And God says, Jesus says, when you're faithful to Him, people will hate you for it. If you lovingly follow Him and you are surrendered to Him and you can be as humble as you want and speak truth in love, there's going to be people that just hate you for it. They're not going to like you because you're a hypocrite. You're closed-minded. You're awful. We understand that. But when it comes to your end of the bargain as a believer, we don't get to have unforgiveness. We don't get to be mean to people. We don't get to hold grudges. We get to forgive because we're forgiven. In 6:10 here, the lesson is just hold your peace. Just relax. Love that person anyway. Forgive that person whether they deserve it or not. Give them grace. Be different like Joshua was because the victory is coming, but we have to take the high road. Be patient. God will give victory. And what God is telling us in 6:10 is don't shout, don't open your mouth, don't raise your voice. I will give you victory if you will be faithful and obedient to me and wait on me. And this is what they had to do here. Guys, we're supposed to be different. Our second lesson from Joshua is, not are we supposed to be different, our job is to bring down walls. There are walls up in this world to God and to His truth. There are people in your life where there are walls up. There's things in your life where walls need to come down. You need to commit. Some of you might need to recommit today. You need to get into God's Word. You need to get and be active, be part of the church. There's sins and things you need to give up for your own good. There's things you need to change. There's people you need to mend relationships with. We're supposed to be bringing down walls. 6:12 says this. It says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took the ark of the Lord. I want to speak to that verse real quickly, a lesson we learned from Joshua. Joshua rose early in the morning. You know what the number one excuse I hear from the redeemed of Christ, Christians, is the number one problem is I don't spend time in God's Word. And the number one excuse is I don't have time. Baloney. We have time. Get up 20 minutes earlier. I like to sleep too. Get up 20 minutes earlier and get into the Word of God because you're not going to be different and have a healthy relationship with Jesus without being in His Word. Feel free to amen. I'm going to get going. I'm sweating. You guys may as well amen so we can get going here this morning. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be bringing down walls, and that includes in our own life. If you want to grow and be fruitful and you care about the lost, you care about coming into the fullness that God wants you to realize in His Son in this life, you have to be in His Word. So here's what happened. We also have to have this attitude. What goes on here is God tells them to circle the city for 7 days, if you know the story. Now, the first time I ever read this, and when I read that till today, the first thing that I think, because I'm human, is why 7 days? Why not just bring the walls down? Why not just, boom, give victory? And then you know what the Holy Spirit always tells me in our lesson for today on this is? Don't worry about it. God said it. That's enough. Now that applies to us 3,300 years later, guys. It applies to every individual life in this building. God says so. That's it. You think I understand everything in God's Word? Not always. Some of it's still a mystery, but God said it. You think I understand some of the struggles I have and they get frustrating, but I need to be obedient because God said so. That's it. I don't think I could have done. Guys, how many of you, if I said 7 days, a whole week, what if I said, guys, we're going to have church for 7 days. We're not going anywhere, call into work, take a vacation. We're going to be here for 7 days straight starting. Now, how many of you would stay? I mean, liars. Oh, who's raising your hand? Liars, don't raise your hand. You guys know it like 11:52, you're looking at the watch. I mean, come on. 7 days. I mean, after probably 70 minutes of circling the city, okay, come on, God, what? Oh, seriously? You know, I'd be checking like the sports scores and stock tickers and my iPhone. You know, I'd ADD. 7 days. But the lesson there is, why? Who cares? God said it. God said it, that's good enough for us. He said and spoken on every issue this world will ever face in His Word, and that's enough. He said it. Our job as the redeemed of God in Jesus Christ is to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit and breaking down walls. It's to be seeing victories in our life over these sins, situations, attitudes, etc. It's to see us be part of those that don't know Jesus coming to Jesus. What's the primary job of the church? To be Jesus to the world. And that means loving them, serving them, and seeing them come to God. And your prayer should be that He uses you as part of that. Because I'm praying that that's the case for me and for you every day. And how will this work? A consistent walk of love and humility brings down walls. What did Jesus say in Matthew 18? He said we must be like little children and be humble. Now, my daughters, 14 and 9, are already to the point where they don't trust everything Dad says, even though they should. Okay? They argue with me. But now when I think about little children and how we should feel about God and the faith we should have in Him and how we should look at Him as Father is kind of more like my 5-year-old son who still thinks Dad's the most smart, strongest man in the world. You know, you name it, he's right. But he thinks all that because he's just so little and innocent. He just really, he's got that childlike just faith. Dad's the man, which I'm not, but he thinks that. That's how we should look at God, like little children. The Bible, Jesus said, you must be that way. You trust Him. You believe everything. You know He's right. You know He loves you and wants the best for you. That's how our relationship with God must be. We must be devoid of ourselves and full of Christ and full of His Holy Spirit. What's it say in 1 Corinthians? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Our heart should be this. And listen, guys, if you don't have a real burden of heart to see lost people come to Jesus, get on your knees and pray about it. That's what we're doing here. Paul talks about becoming all things to all people so that he might win some. Breaking down walls, finding commonalities, finding things to get out of your comfort zone, like knocking on doors and inviting kids to church. That might open the door for you to share or have a conversation about Jesus or about the gospel, about salvation or eternity. Here in Hoopston, those people that live, yeah, it's not comfortable. It's the kind of stuff we should be doing and the kind of stuff we're going to be doing. And Paul goes on to talk about running our race and how we should live our life and how important it is to be part of seeing a lost and dying world, hear about the message and the hope and the reality that Jesus Christ is. Our job is to see souls won in any way possible. For that to happen, we must be different. We must be people who help bring down walls. And our third lesson from Joshua is when it's time for these walls to come down, when it's time for God to move in your life, when it's time for things to change, are you ready for and open to the opportunity? Because one of two things is the case this morning. Your heart's either open to God's Word, open to repenting, open to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're just here because you have to be. Or you feel better about yourself if you come to church. But we're here corporately to worship, to fellowship with one another, to prepare ourselves to go out of this building and be the church. And when I hear God's Word, when I prepare God's Word, when I preach or listen to God's Word, it changes me, it convicts me. I'm far from done yet. And so are you. Are you ready for the opportunity? First and foremost, the most important question will ever be asked in the history of mankind for you is if your eternity came today, would you be ready? Is it heaven or hell? Is it Jesus, yes or no? Because none of you can guarantee me this isn't your last day, and none of us know the time that Jesus is coming back, and we will all, every knee bow, every tongue confess, stand before God. But if you've said yes or are willing to say yes to Jesus, to turn to Him and call upon Him and repent from your sins and commit to surrendering your life to live for Him, that'll be the greatest thing in the world when that time comes and you get to meet the Lord and you look forward to heaven, you look forward to eternity. If you're here today and you've already done that, are you ready for God to bless you with opportunities? Are you ready to be used of the Lord? Have you, as the Bible says, put off your old man or woman and put on your new clothes? Have you put on Christ? Or are you still living for... Is there a lot of you involved in the equation? He knows we all struggle with this, but this is what we're told to do. Are you slow to speak, slow to wrath? Are you growing? You know, it's very true. We all would love, and I'll tell you, I would love to be able to have kind of like a par or a cruise control where my relationship with the Lord is just solid. But it's either getting better or it's getting worse, and it happens every day. That's why the Bible tells us we have to die to ourselves daily. And I want to be more like Joshua. I trust God. You know what? We're supposed to be different. He's the Lord. He says it. That's it. When he says, or when my pastor says, I need to be reading God's Word, making time, having a surrendered heart, my life should look, I should struggle against my sin. I can't argue with God's Word. There's no God's Word says this, but I love when I have people in my life and they come to me and, you know, I need accountability. We all do. Do you have that in your life? Do you want to be different? Are you wanting God to move? Are you wanting to have the opportunities? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, when I was a little child, I thought and spoke as a little child, but when I grew up, I became more like an adult. Spiritually, guys, are you growing up? Or do you still get mad all the time? You still got the problem with gossip, the same sin over and over and over and over. And God forbid, by Jesus' grace alone, that you're here today and you have called upon the name of the Lord, but you know you're living in sin. Don't leave today till you turn from that sin. God knows we struggle, but we don't give over to sin. We want to be ready for opportunities. I want God to bless and move forward, but we have to be His. Here's another thing. Are you mature? Sometimes we want God to answer prayers or change situations or give us blessings, but if we're not mature enough and ready to receive that blessing, He can't give that. Well, I wish God would do this for me or do that. And God, like no one else that has ever lived, knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you are. And He loves you anyway. So why don't we run from that love? So often God wants to deliver us to bless, but what happens is if He doesn't answer a prayer how we think or we're not sure or something happens in life, we can kind of passive-aggressively get mad at God. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to be around that person. I don't want to serve or give. I don't want to be a part. I'm mad because I don't think my life's just what I think it should look like. This isn't our home. This life isn't really that important other than what we're here to do, to live for Jesus and to bring people into what real life is, which will be eternal life, where our home is. Are you mature enough for the blessing? Guys, we're called. We're called to be different. We're called to be uniters and tearers down of walls. We're called to be different. We're called to be ready for God's blessings. Are you and I ready? It's kind of like with my kids. You know, they misbehave. They get in trouble, get a privilege taken away. Who's the meanest dad ever? I am. God says that He loves us, which is why we have to stay in accordance with His Word and how we live our lives. He disciplines those He loves. I want to be living life in such a way that that doesn't need to happen for me. I want to stay close to Him and stay right with Him and stay in fellowship with Him and with you so that life cannot be on that roller coaster. Our fourth and final lesson, which goes along with our third one from Joshua's life, is He was trustworthy. Are you? Joshua was trustworthy. He could be counted on. He was faithful. Who here is a channel flipper? Every man, raise your hand, be honest. When you're watching TV, you flip the channels. I have never listened to a whole song in my entire life, as my wife and kids can tell you. When we're in the car, it's like change the channel nonstop. I do the same thing with the remote control at home. That's just, if I don't like something, I change the channel. Be careful, guys, because we do that. It's our human nature to want to do that with God. To pick and choose from His Word what we follow, what's relevant. To be casual about our relationship with Him, spending time in His Word, coming to church, being fully devoted to Christ. And so often we don't get to the promise, we don't get to the goodness in this life because we aren't consistent and trustworthy followers of Jesus. We have to be careful. I have to fight against it. So do you. It's a daily surrendering our heart and will and renewing of our mind to Jesus. It's prayers of God, use me, make me more like Your Son. Let Your Holy Spirit lead me in love of being consistent and devoted and committed. So often in this life, people miss where God wants them to go because they aren't trustworthy. After they had victory over Jericho, we spoke on this several months ago, but I'll mention it again today. If you turn to Joshua chapter 6, there was a man named Achan who was part of God's people. But Achan disobeyed God, and God said, after they gave this victory, God said that there were some stuff, there were spoils, there was stuff in the city that they could have, not have, whatever. And God basically said, abstain from these cursed things, lest you become accursed, and you trouble my people. There was silver, gold, all these things. But there was a man named Achan who just didn't care. He wanted what he wanted. Guys, as believers, as part of God's church, if you're here today and you are living knowingly in sin, my God in heaven, please repent of that. Because it's not just about you. For the church to be the church, for us to move forward, we can't have Christians just living however they want to live their life despite what God's Word says. It affects all of us. It affects us being the fullness. It affects us reaching the lost. It affects the church body because you're part of it. This one man, Achan, was just willfully disobedient to God, didn't care. You think it was worth it 3,300 years later? If you're here today and you know you've got sin, unforgiveness in your life, repent of that today before you leave, because it's more than just about you, but also it's very much relevant to your relationship with your Father. And this man Achan, it was just the world was too much. The world was too enticing. The silver, the gold, all this stuff, even though God said. And there are some here today in that boat. Maybe it's sex or a substance or money or self or pride, plans. It can be unforgiveness. It can be laziness. We know that we're lukewarm. It can be doubt. It can be your past. It can be whatever it is. It's time to turn from it. It's time to turn from it. God knows that you struggle. He knows that you're human, but we have to be trustworthy as His people. Dan, we're going to close in just a moment here. Maybe you're dealing with bitterness. This is something that I have to, in my life, go with over and over and over again. Hebrews 12:15 says, don't become bitter. Because when you do, many people are affected by it, not just you. Maybe it's towards a person. Maybe it's about something. Maybe it's a forgiveness issue. Maybe it's something in your life. But as God's child, you learn from Joshua that you're to have a different spirit. You're to be the one that gives the grace. You're to be the one that says, I'm sorry, whether you're wrong or not. Married men, you know what I'm talking about. You guys with me? All right. We're to be different. We're to be trustworthy. We're to be the breaker down of walls. We're to be the redeemed of God in Christ Jesus whose lives look different when we go from this place into the world. And we learn from Joshua that God is faithful when we're obedient. God is faithful when we're surrendered and when we're His. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to read a couple verses from 1 John today. And guys, this is relevant to all of us. Yes, believer, this is relevant to you. Don't let the world or the things in this world entice you. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Well, I don't lust. I don't have problems in that area. The pride, guys. The pride that keeps us from Jesus. The pride that keeps us from people. The pride that keeps us from serving and being what God wants us to be. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. And this world is passing away and all of its stuff. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we prepare to pray? I think some here today need a reminder of God's faithfulness. Are you being faithful to Him? Or have you left your first love? Do you just feel kind of lukewarm? Maybe you need to surrender, or maybe just to pray. Maybe it's that sin again or that thing, but if you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive you. And if you repent and turn from that sin, He will give you victory over it. He didn't just come to save you from your sin. He wants you to live this life free from the sin. We're called to so much more than some of us are living here today. Will you humble yourself so that the God of all creation can lift you up? Maybe you need to repent and give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Him just to wake up in Christ, to surrender your will. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Before we pray, if that's you, would you slip your hand up today? Would you just slip your hand up today? Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. As we sing, you're always welcome to come pray at the altar. If you raised your hand, come and see me after service. Get a hold of me. Let me pray with you. Let me talk with you. Let's talk about what it is in your life. But let's also now, as we sing and worship one more time after we pray, let's, as God's people, stay broken and humble and learn from the lives of our forefathers, men like Joshua, that we are to be different, to stand out as light in this world, to trust God, to serve God, to obey God, to be joyful, to be positive, to trust in Him in all things in life. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. And now as we worship You, and Lord, as we just think about our lives, I pray that if for those in here that slipped their hand up today for whatever reason, Lord, they wouldn't even sing. They would just take some time in prayer at their seat, at the altar, whatever. And anyone else is welcome to come and just pray, because we need to remember we are nothing and You are everything. That we need to decrease and You need to increase. In our lives, the very reason we exist is to bring You glory through our relationship with You because of Jesus. Thank You, God, for that. Let our lives be about You and bringing You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.